Thanks for joining us today for our monthly legal podcast with Missouri Press Association hotline attorney, Gene Manicky. April is Fair Housing Month, and Gene's guest on today's program is John Tresvina, Assistant Secretary for Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity. The Office of Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity administers and enforces federal laws and establishes policies that make sure all Americans have equal access to the housing of their choice. Today's topic is important to newspapers, especially advertising staffs, in understanding the Fair Housing Act and its rules preventing discrimination. Assistant Secretary Tresvina and Gene will discuss the obligation of newspaper companies, the impact of noncompliance, and exceptions to the law. Links to resources discussed in this podcast can be found at www.mopress.com on the podcast page. If you have more questions about topics covered in this podcast or any newspaper-related legal questions, Gene is available to give advice to active members of the Missouri Press Association at no charge. Contact information for Gene is available on the website. Gene Manicky has served as the Missouri Press legal hotline attorney since 1992. Her firm, the Manicky Law Group, is based in Kansas City, Missouri.
John, I appreciate you being with us today on our podcast. You just told me that April is Fair Housing Month. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm here in St. Louis today to kick off Fair Housing Month. It's the 42nd anniversary of the Fair Housing Act.
Well, that's a perfect time for us to talk a little bit about the Fair Housing Law and the issues that come up for our members in connection with their housing ads. I get so many calls on the hotline from people who are looking at ads and they're trying to figure out what they can run and what they can't run. Can you talk a little bit about the HUD program that relates to fair housing and how it's enforced and what you do when you get a complaint in about a housing ad?
Yes, I'd be happy to do so. And it's particularly useful here in the state of Missouri. Missouri is the 17th or 18th largest state in the country. But it turns out it's the number 7 state for housing discrimination complaints.
Wow.
And, well, that's notable for a couple of reasons. One is that it is an area we need to look at more closely. But second, it also means that there are people who are nowhere to go to complain, and they feel comfortable coming forward to the government agencies to exert their rights. So while on the one hand we're concerned about the number of complaints, on the other hand, we do see that there is a place for them to go, including the Civil Rights Enforcement Agency for the City of St. Louis. That's one of our partners. The law that was passed in 1968 has been amended a couple of times. So today it is illegal to discriminate against individuals and organizations on the basis of race, color, national origin, sex, familial status, religion, or handicap in the sale or rental of housing, as well as another real estate-related transactions, such as lending and appraisals.
Sure.
That includes, I think for purposes of your listeners, discriminatory advertising. Section 3604C of the law makes it unlawful to make, print, publish, or cause to be made, printed, or published any notice, statement, or advertisement regarding the sale or rental of a dwelling that indicates a preference, limitation, or discrimination based on any protected class.
And as my members, I hope, are well aware, that means that there's actual liability to the newspaper for what's in the ad, correct?
That's correct. Publishers and newspapers and directories that print discriminatory ads violate the act. The individuals and entities placing the ads are also liable for discrimination under the law.
And so I assume when there's enforcement, both the media entity and the individual placing the ad might get sued.
They might get sued, but I have to say that most of the publishers get it right. And a lot of the publishers put a small display ad among their classified ads that have our HUD logo and our Fair Housing phone number of 1-800-669-9777 and a short description of what the law provides. In language that the average person will understand as well. We want to make compliance simple, so we provide information and education like today's podcast allows people to get to know both their rights under the law as well as their responsibilities.
Well, let's make this real serious for them for a minute. What kinds of fines and penalties are they at risk if they do violate the law?
Well, penalties in the administrative form, and I should explain that individuals who have a fair housing complaint can file with the federal government, the U.S. HUD, Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity Office, or a state and local fair housing agency, also run by a government agency.
Sure.
And people come forward and they file their complaint, but throughout the process we look to conciliation. It is mandated by law that we look to ways to resolve complaints prior to getting involved into long or protracted litigation. That means talking to the respondent and getting their side of the story and being able to do a full investigation. But throughout the course of the investigation, if there's a way to recognize by both sides that something went wrong and it ought to be corrected, we try to do that. So it means that we don't always go into litigation. If the complainant can be made whole, that is, if they've suffered any damages, that they are protected, but also to recognize that oftentimes education of the respondent, whether it's a newspaper, a publisher, or whether it's a real estate agent or landlord, education can be an effective way of deterring future discrimination. But once cases get to a finding of discrimination, then they are either go before an administrative law judge of HUD, or they can go to a federal court judge. The penalties in the administrative form begin at $16,500 for a
wow.
first violation, and increase to a current maximum of $65,000 for a third violation. In federal court, the penalties range from $55,000 to $110,000.
Wow, those are pretty serious fines.
They're serious fines, but this is serious business.
Sure.
The Fair Housing Act, after all, was enacted by President Johnson and Congress in 1968 in the aftermath of Dr. King's assassination in 1968. And it comes with a tradition of and history of following along the 1964 Civil Rights Act on employment, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, ways to breaking down barriers and longstanding barriers of segregation and discrimination. So it is serious. A lot more people get it right today than in the past. We've made a lot of progress, but there's still progress to be made.
Sure, that makes sense. Oftentimes when the members call me, they're wanting a list of words. I think some of the states have put out lists that they say you can use these words, you can't use these words. And I often tell them that you really can't just hand them a list of words and say these words you can use and these words you can't use. One of the theories that I use when I'm trying to explain this to people is that you need to describe the property, not the tenant. Can you talk a little bit about whether there are lists of words that they should consider improper, or how they know what language they can use in these kinds of